What we do in the middle, you know, we have the oil paint, we have the brushes, we have pencils, we can paint a picture. But even a blank canvas has an edge, and it has, so you can't paint what's not there, it has a boundary. And that's how God showed me that, you know, like during the service, you know, pray out loud. With the exercise of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, we have tongues, we have interpretations. If you pray out loud in tongues, remember that an interpretation needs to come. If someone has a word for an individual, I will encourage, share the word, because you're robbing them otherwise. But share it in a way, go to them in private. If you've got a personal word, go to them in private. If you have a word you feel for the church to share, come down front. Come and see one of the leaders sitting on the front. And we'll pray about it. You tell us what the word is. We'll pray about it. And then, you know, if he's right, yes, there you go. Go and share the word. Just a reminder, but the elders are David Cameron, put your hand. Those who don't know him, and Gary's at the box again. He's a legend. He really is. But yeah, that's it. But God's plans and purposes. God had a plan for us even before the creation of the world. Many non-believers ask, and I mean, it might be a question that you might have asked: why is there suffering? Why is a world like this? Where's God's governance if there's a God? They're good questions which we can all relate to, but often our minds cannot see the answer. Have you ever tried looking for something and it's not there? It's there, but it's not there. You ever done that? The amount of times I lose something in my pocket and I get everything out, and then I go back 10 minutes later and it's in there, and you're like, am I going mad? Well, I had, last Sunday was one of them experiences. I turned up at the Bethel building and the toilet was blocked. I was looking around, oh yes, it's you, Chris, you've got to unblock the toilet. So I went into the cupboard, the cleaning cupboard, undid the door. I know there's a plunger in there. It's part of the kit for the Bethel building. So I'm looking around for this plunger. I had everything out, put it back. Everything out, put it back. 3 times. Couldn't find the plunger, because you know if you haven't got a plunger, what you got to do? I was like, okay, I'm going to have to do it. So down the toilet, the arm goes, right. It's like, oh, this is wrong. But someone's got to do it. I come out, it wasn't working. No matter what I did, it didn't work. I then come out, wash my arm, bleach. But, and then Pete turned up. Pete went, saying, like, you got a plunger? So we have. It's in there, but I can't see it. So Pete walks in the cupboard. What this? It's a long story, but the reason why I couldn't see it is because, do you know what I was looking for? I was looking for a wooden handle with a black rubber at the bottom. It weren't a wooden, it was surrounded by a carrier bag. In my head, I had a preconception of what I was looking for, but actually, that's not what it looked like. It had a plastic bag, a carrier bag around it, I wasn't expecting that. So I was blind, so to speak. My own expectations blinded me. And is this the world's view on God? We're taught in schools that God don't exist, or he's an old man sitting with a long white beard on a throne in heaven, and he doesn't care. But the Bible says different. And of course, you know, said last week, this is our word we stick to. God created us in his image. Genesis 1:27. He created perfection. He does not make mistakes. None of you are a mistake. No matter what that anyone says. After each day of creation, God said it was good. So what God created was good. And we had a relationship with him. We could stand in his presence and the world was rosy. It was a good life. And then we see that through the fall and the act of rebellion, that they rejected God. Not the other way around. God is holy, and so the act of rebellion by Adam and Eve meant we lost our relationship with him, that connection. Because sin is sin. And it goes through our DNA. And regardless how big that we think an act is, it's a bit subjective, isn't it? Like lying isn't that bad, is it? Little white lie. Sometimes, you know, to protect someone. Is stealing isn't that bad? I mean, it's only a pen from work. They've got so many, they'll never know. But the funny thing is that we put murder up there, don't we? We're like, no, we've decided that murder's bad. Yeah, but it's all right, the other stuff. But in Isaiah 64:6, it says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. Our best efforts are like filthy rags. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So sin is sin. That's, I just wanted to put that out there. God's got his benchmarks, which is right up there. And stealing is theft, lying is deceitful, and there's a lot of other things this book says. Left alone, though, we would simply just fail. Every single person says that has to give an account of their life before God. And God could just as easily have left that as it was, thinking, okay, that was a good effort, well done. We'll just leave it. But that's not the God. That's not God, is it? He's a believer in second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh chances. He did not sit back, as most of you know. He saw the problem, but because he loves his creation, he made a way. God is one, but a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But we were created to love. I mean, last week I spoke a lot about love. I mean, that is central to the gospel. About who God is, love. But why? And that is why, when you look around, there's such a void in this world. Those who don't know God, it's like they're looking for something to fill that void, like that washing, that tumble dryer thing. You know, what, something needs to go in a tumble dryer to make it worthwhile, doesn't it? You need to put clothes in. Or there's no point in having a tumble dryer. It's a bit like us. We need to have God here so we can be part and connect. So, of course, the world's crying out for an answer. We all want an answer, don't we? And the only way possible was for someone who was without sin. And he paid the price. He was nailed to the cross and he took punishment of death for our sin. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It says that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. There's the key. So that is God's plan. He created, but his creation rebelled. I think that's in many ways, God goes free will. And free will is a good thing. Many times, with my own children, it's easy to compare your children to God's relationship with us. You know, it'd be easy to try and control my children, lock them in a cupboard. They're not doing what they're told. Okay, well, they'll learn. No. God didn't do that with us. He didn't say, hi, going to put you away like a dirty secret. No. He gave free will. He gave us to make our own mind up. And that is the beauty of the cross, that Jesus dying on the cross is that's precious. So we still rebel, even though we're born again. And against his will and purposes, because mankind, all around us is negative voices saying that God isn't this. But actually, this is what says who God is. And this is an honour, for he is holy beyond holiness. But sometimes we still fail to see how much love is poured out on his creation. And of course, the good news is that Jesus Christ didn't stay on the cross. He rose from the dead to make that relationship work. That's God's plans and purpose for creation. He created us with love to be with us. We rebelled, but then he created a way to reconnect with him. But then we still have our own plans and purposes, even if we do follow Jesus, don't we? Do we? I have my own ambitions I'd like to achieve. But is God's plans and purposes more important than mine? Yeah. Is surrendering my or our governance part of the plan? To accept Jesus is free. He makes a way. That's tremendous. Joy. Believe that he died for our sins, for your sins. And that he's Lord and God and Saviour. Repent of wrongdoing. I mean, sin is a really old word, isn't it? But it's still true. It's wrongdoing. But sin, it says it. Ooh. But so God paid the price. But there's still a cost to follow Jesus. Not to get the relationship, but it's about surrendering our own will and purpose to God's. And like that Bible verse, forgot about that, but that Bible verse, that his will and purpose isn't for us to have scorpions, you know, when we ask for certain food. He's got good things planned. It says in Romans 6, 1 to 14, what should we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we are certainly also going to be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that our body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him. We know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive in Christ, to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. We died to ourselves when we accepted Christ. And this includes our plans and purposes. Do you really think that when I started work, that my plan was to be a pastor? My plan was to have a huge house. Have this job where I didn't really have to do much, but I got paid shed loads of money. Yeah, you know, flashy cars. I mean, I used to walk past a Trans Am on the way to school and I'd be like, mine. I'm going to have that. Even though I've got no qualifications, I'm going to still have that. My plans and purposes, a little bit different to what maybe God had planned. I was happy to be in the background, earn the money, you know, have the good life, but just be in the background. But God said, no, I've got something else planned for you when you follow me. So that's the scary thought, everyone. Who knows what's going to happen if you surrender everything? I might be emailing you in Africa in a few years. So we died to ourselves when he accepted Christ. Now, that includes our plans and purposes. God is not bad, and he doesn't want us to do nothing with this life that he's bought. I've tongue-tied there. Basically, he wants to be number one. Yeah? We can see that. If I was anything like God, I think that would be my number one rule, that people would admit that I was God. But thankfully, I'm not. Yeah. But, you know, I can see where God's coming from. You know, he created everything. Everything here, that chair that we're sitting on that we trust, is his. Man might have made it, but God gave man. God gave the materials. It's all his. Everything we have is his. So his plans and purposes, what are they? And how does this fit in with the story, the blocked toilet? Well, simple really, in that we need to open our eyes to the things of God as a church and individually, because he might have a different plan. He's not going to change who he is or the way he is. His character stays the same through time. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. But he might have challenges for us. After all, aren't we Jesus' hands and feet? Everywhere we go, we bring the light. So wherever we go, the darkness goes. Matthew 28, one of my favourite verses in the Bible. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptising them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. that commission did not expire. I'm just going to read some Bible verses that really spoke to me, and I wanted to share them. Proverbs 3, 5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Proverbs 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their course. Quite fitting. But the Lord establishes their steps. Psalm 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Psalm 37. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. That shouldn't have been in there. Scrub that from your memory. Proverbs 19. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but there is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Psalm 37. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. 1 Corinthians 2. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things of God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Proverbs 16, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Ephesians 2, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And of course, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. I'm getting a theme that comes through this book. He wants us to have good things, but we might not necessarily know what them good things are. Jeremiah 29:11. I go back to that. Probably the most out of context verse in the Bible. But it said time and time again, but it does not promise that things are going to be easy for the Israelites. My and Luke. Yeah, if you get to know me more, I'll start using you as illustrations, okay? I can tell stories about how we had jolly together. But my Luke, he plays a few musical instruments. And I actually think he's good. I don't know where he got his talent from, because it wasn't from his father or his mother. And it'd be dishonouring to him if I was to say that he just acquired the gift and he just played like that. God gave him the spark. I remember the moment he said, Dad, I want to play the drums. I remember that moment. So we bought him a drum kit. He had drumming lessons. But God gave him the spark, the passion. And like anything, God gives us a passion and a heart to do things. But it took a lot of practice. A lot. My poor neighbours. But I think he's still learning. I think he does really well. But God's plans and purposes took time. You know, like reading this Bible, it takes time. We can read it cover to cover and we still don't get it. But then we read it again and we read it again and we read it again and things start coming through. God has a plan and purpose for all of us here. Doesn't matter if you're young, who's the youngest? No, you're not Dave. Yep, we've got a young one up there. God has a plan and purpose for the youngest and the oldest. There's plans and purposes. Age does not limit. Gender doesn't limit. Obedience to God, our obedience to God, is what can limit. There's a really... before we go on to that, we are not called to be spectators, are we? I mean, this whole hall has been built for spectators, really. Because you guys are on a slope to look down for me to talk to you. But we wasn't made that way. You know, that's not what God calls us to be, spectators in the kingdom of God. He calls us, every single one of us, to be part of the kingdom of God, which means at times we need to seek him to find out what his plans and purposes are for us. There's a really popular quote, and I do not know the original owner of this quote, because everyone claims it's theirs. So it's mine. It's not. The graveyard is the richest place on earth because it is here that you'll find all the hopes and dreams that were never fulfilled, the books that were never written, the songs that were never sung, the inventions that were never shared, the cures that were never discovered, all because someone was too afraid to take the first step, keep with the problem, or determined to carry out their dream. Every single person here has a part, a gift, a purpose to play. If God has given revelation on direction and purpose, then come and talk about the ideas. Put it out in the open. I believe that 12 apostles changed the world with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will say it again, there's more than 12 here. So we could change the world with the Holy Spirit, with God, going out proclaiming the kingdom of God. Yesterday I was at Mark Ambrose's induction at the URC. Now, there was a picture shared. I shared this last night, but there was a picture shared that towards the end, someone got up and said that many years ago there was a picture, I think it's a river or a well in the town overflowing, and that God was going to overflow. And it wasn't about a church, it was about the town, God reaching the town. And I was like, wow, we've had that picture as well. So God has a plan and purpose, not necessarily with the instruments to be used, the hands and feet for Jesus. I'm going to conclude. Everything we have is his. Our time, our jobs, our children, our family, and submitting our own governance to his will and purpose is what God is calling us to do. But we must think differently. Think rather than an expectation for me gives a picture of something I have planned. But having an expectant heart is open-ended. There's no Asian. It's open-ended. Be expectant of what God's going to do for this church, for your lives. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results. Well, that's one version of insanity. But it is the way we walk.